With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jack Ramsey's Dan and Ring, Brandon Sprague. It is, what now, June 4th? I'm losing track of the days. 18 days until the NBA draft. There's all kinds of news and notes. Scoot Henderson worked out for the Trailblazers yesterday. I was there at the post-workout media availability. There's a Wall Street Journal piece out now talking about the potential sale of the franchise and where kind of things stand. It's off season, but it's still not quiet. So that's kind of where we are right now. I've got that, and I've got a million questions from you. I will try to get through as many of these as I can, or as we can, before we wrap things up. Brandon, how you doing, man?
Despite the fact that I'm 36 with a pimple on my face, I'm doing pretty good, Danny. The weather is beautiful, and there's a lot to talk about with the Blazers
right now. Leaning into it. There's a lot of comments right now about you not wearing a hat right now, and yet you've got your ears lowered.
I did. I got a haircut. Mm. My kids hate my shaved head, so I had to grow my hair back out. And then right in time for today's pod, I woke up with a ginormous zit on my face, which tried to pop. That was unsuccessful. So we're off to a rip-roaring start on this beautiful Sunday.
Nice. Jack Ramsey's is like popping a pimple. that's how you sell, ladies and gentlemen. We're still brought to you by Move Insoles. There you go. We'll be brought to you by Move Insoles all season.
I asked you this because you mentioned the article. I'm wrapping up the last paragraph right now live on the podcast. I saw the Scoot stuff. It's been like a week or so since we talked. I'm just curious, like, where Danny Meringue's hierarchy of this is number one biggest thing on my mind, this is number two biggest thing on my mind. Where are we at on this whole hierarchy of Blazers news today?
So I don't talk about the sales stuff just because until there's like real news, it doesn't really matter to me. I've heard since 2020. You know, like what's kind of gone on behind the scenes and certain people that are interested in buying the team, Phil Knight being foremost among them. Full disclosure, like when I first heard about the team like being sold back then, it was this summer that I was told that it would happen. Mm-hmm. And so until we get past this summer, I just kind of throw my hands up. The Wall Street Journal article does talk about a lot of what I've heard for the last 6 months, which is that Phil Knight wants the team, desperately so, in that they are actively pursuing the team. That matches everything that I've heard for the last 6 months. So I haven't heard anything changing there. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe not doing the hit piece first and maybe doing the piece like this first would have probably been a little bit smarter. Just, I don't know. The order of operations with the Ron Wyden, I endorse Phil Knight's ownership of the team, even though the team's not technically for sale. Like, and then, you know, butting that up against the literal next day where Larry Miller, who isn't named in the article as the executive brand director of Jordan, also tangentially related to Nike, is like the sole person cited for all of the negative stuff thrown at the Allen estate and Jody Allen. So, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have gone that way first, but
I'm with you there. I think this should have been reversed in some way, and the scathing stuff doesn't come out until it's like negotiations are at a standstill.
Sure.
I think my thing is on it is just I'm curious your thoughts on this. Like, I believe in. All right, you bought the team. Not that she did, but like the estate bought this team, and they've done a lot for this franchise in this city. But like. Should leagues and cities have any rights with stuff like this. Such a weird position, right? It's in the Wall Street Journal article. This stuff takes 10 to 20 years with estates of this magnitude, mm-hmm. in some estimations. You read it. We saw Phil Knight donated $400 million to the surrounding area. We read it in the story. He clearly wants to build the area up and mm-hmm. make it like a big district, which we've long been waiting for. And Nike's the partner with the league. Not that he's necessarily the day-to-day guy anymore for it. I was wondering today reading this piece, should cities and fans, should they have rights? Should leagues have rights? Should Adam Silver be able to say, sorry, you got to sell it now. This is an amazing offer. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know it's a slippery slope for some people, but I was just thinking about that.
There is an element of that to it, and it's highlighted in the Wall Street Journal, and nobody but those at the very top know exactly what the timeline is that the, mm-hmm. the NBA is going to mandate and what the estate mandates. The NBA, even that article that the NBA has cited is anytime a team is handed over to an estate or to a trust, it's supposed to be for a temporary period of time. Now, how long yes. that temporary period of time is something I'm sure only ownership and Adam Silver, and hell, it may not even be that many other owners that know exactly how long that is supposed to go on for. But Phil needs to buy the team.
Yes.
Let's run on the boxes, right? All the money in the world.
Check.
Okay, it's worth at least $40 billion. Give or take on a day that ends in Y.
Yep.
He has already shown that he can take a program in the middle of nowhere and turn it into a powerhouse, i.e. Oregon. Mm-hmm. Oregon wasn't good. Folks, if you listen, the USC and me is going to come out real loud and proud right now, but it's going to hurt for you. Oregon is irrelevant without Phil Knight. Period, point blank.
Oregon State are the same thing.
Nothing against the Beavs. You were on the same level as the Beavers if you do not have Phil Knight. It is literally that simple. Because you were in Eugene, 2 hours south of Portland. It's just, there's very few places where that's not the case. Where you're just, you need to be some sort of powers. Now, they have Phil Knight. And that's what makes them powerful. And mm-hmm. you've seen the literal $1 billion that he has invested in that university. And that's just in the sports program. that isn't even everything else with Matthew Knight Arena and everything and the education side of things. What he would do to the Blazers, I would imagine, will be very similar. It would have the best training facility on the face of the planet. It would have the best of everything. Because yes. that's how you win on that level. I'm sorry, my contact is dancing around in my eye because my allergies are whooping my ass right now. So if I look like I'm scratching my eye like crazy, it's because I am. It's having that advantage. That's when I talk about ownership being one of the biggest advantages in sports, that's it. Not just that he has $40 billion. Yes, you want Bezos, Knight, you want... is Elon broke boy now? I'll say he was on that list.
No, I think he just got named richest man in the world again.
Okay, so he keeps...
I might be wrong on that.
Depending on his liquid assets. But yeah. you want more money than God. Right. But having more money than God and being unwilling to actually do anything with it, you see it happen pretty regularly. Like, mm-hmm. take a look at the Knicks.
Yeah.
Dolan's been cheap forever. Ever, 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 ever. So you have all the money and a willingness to spend it. I'm fighting a losing war to these allergies right now. Good Lord. The one drawback of Phil is that he's 85 years old. And you might have to go through this process again very soon. So. Okay.
But the thing about where we know what that money is, not only does he want to invest in the area, buy the team, the dude is 85.
Yes.
He might not get a hold of this thing if he stays interested until he's 87. And it's like, obviously, time ain't on his side at that point. But the thing he's searching for is the exact same thing you, I, everybody else searching for. It's championship. And he's won Pac-12 titles. He's gotten to a couple national championships with his football school. And he's done an exceptional job. What he's done mm-hmm. at Oregon is, how are you not envious of it? But I think he views this in a time capsule of, I have to see a title in my life.
It's a legacy thing. It's a legacy play. And honestly, that kind of thing motivates me because you know just how bad he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's like, that's what I want. Now, I wouldn't need to fully endorse it. I need that plan of succession. I can't have any Game of Thrones shit. I'm not going down the genie bus Lakers disaster piece theater that they had.
Wait, what do you think? How do you think secession ended? Because it didn't necessarily end with secession.
Look, I haven't watched the show yet. Okay.
Oh. Okay. Are you gonna watch it?
Yeah, I'll put it on there. But
then I won't spoil anything.
No, okay. But that's why I went Game of Thrones.
Okay. Oh, I don't want a Game of Thrones ending either.
So, like, the idea of how that works, that intrigues me. Okay. But beyond that, if Jody's not going to be the long-term owner, like, if she was going to be the long-term owner with her money and she actually gave a damn and was going to be like, yes, I'm going to buy the team and cool. I have no issue with that. I don't care who it is as long as you, one, have more money than God, two, want to spend it religiously on this team. Yeah. Beyond those things, I don't care.
Sure.
I don't. Everyone's like, well, what about if they're a good person and how much they give to them? And I don't care. You can be the right hand of Satan if you're bringing me rings, man. I'm like, well, you know, he did make a good point.
You know what I care about? I care if they care.
Yes.
That's what I care about. Care.
So, like, as long as it's that, whatever. Yeah. All right, so that's one of the big news notes out of the way. So it's not much ado about nothing in this regard. Like, there's smoke there, and there has been smoke for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, that's kind of where I ultimately fall. Is that where you are? Like, as long as you're...
Yeah, I just, you know, it's not like some of this stuff has been unheard or talked about. We've dove into this before, but it's just like reading... I'm with you on the reverse of the stories, but like reading the piece, and you're just like, damn it, dude, like... Adam Silver, get on the horn. Like, if the city had a vote today, who do you want to be the owner? It wouldn't even, you know,
Phil would win 95% of the vote.
A landslide. Yeah. So it's just, you know, I take city and league into account here and, the you know, the weird quotes and the Smolinski wrote her a letter and somebody else reached back out on behalf of her. It's just like communication
it's,
stuff.
It's a weird. And honestly, I bet you the hit piece is playing a part of that.
But they already acknowledged the price. I mean, I would just make the hit piece the price up, right? Like, oh, you wrote that about us. That's another half a billion dollars.
That's a quarter billion.
Yeah.
God, that's a price. It's a pricey post piece.
It is a pricey post. Well, why the hell was Larry Miller actually being quoted in that story?
No idea.
What are you doing?
No idea. It wasn't exactly veiled. So, the other big news, obviously, as G League Ignite guard Scoot Henderson was in the building for workouts yesterday morning. All of the media showed up and all of the pomp and circumstance. I will cede the floor to you, good sir. You had Shaedon Sharpe as baby Kobe. What, when you see Scoot Henderson, what do you see?
Man, if Shaedon is baby Kobe, I'm seeing like a combination of Dame, Michael Jordan, and Russell Westbrook. What do you call that guy?
My own personal nightmare.
Danny, I'll be honest with you, man. You were there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on just his kind of – sounds tacky, but like his aura. Like, how do you feel like he carried himself? I watched all his post-workout press stuff. I was impressed with that. And then obviously the video stuff is like you're showing us the best stuff possible, but – the kid is, he looks built and he's 19. He's got hyper athleticism. His length is insane given his height.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world of it to the fact where I think it's easy for me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think other people are going to feel the same way. I don't know how the hell it works and what it does, but if I'm on that clock at 3 and the best offer I have out there is Pascal Siakam, with the 3rd pick, I am drafting Scoot Mother Bleepin' Henderson, and I'm just hoping to God we figure this thing out in a nice, clean, successful way.
All right, before I dive into the Scoot stuff, and you kind of hit on exactly where I wanted to go with this, is that on lottery night when we did the show, what did I say?
This I don't remember because we blacked out.
This is the most valuable intangible asset in the entire NBA that's not an MVP player, with the exception of two. But I didn't think two was gone. Charlotte's so bereft of talent that you're just – they're not giving that pick up. They need it desperately.
No, they need it. They need it.
Number one, I continue to hear that Charlotte is interested in Miller. And for everybody's like, oh, they won't pass on Scoot. Michael Jordan has overridden Mitch Kupchak more times than I can count on draft night. If Brandon Miller has a great workout for the Hornets, I mean, I would not be shocked to see them take Brandon Miller. But as it pertains to the Blazers, the asset-wise shaping of everything, I want the Blazers to commit to Damian Lillard. But I think the Blazers at this point and kind of how they're putting it out there and how it's being shaped is that they look at that asset as like, when everybody asked me, like, would you trade three for McHale? And I said, no. It's because I knew the value of the asset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, McHale and Claxton? You're talking. you have my attention.
Like, sure.
So that's the kind of thing where I look at that and I go, yeah, okay. I kind of get with that, where they're going with that. But the flip side of all of this is they value that asset, I think, so highly that it's going to take an offer that blows their doors off. And I'm not sure they're going to get it. And the Blazers are going to be in a position where I think they genuinely look at taking and making the pick.
Yeah.
And what that says about the franchise, and like I've said this, you and I have said this, it is about this summer. Well, if it's about this summer, if they don't make the move that impacts winning now, well, guess what they're putting winning till?
Yeah.
Not this summer and not this season.
I don't have a relationship with Dame the way you do. This is just my what you read and what he says. And look, I've long been wondering aloud, like, are these guys really going to become available, right? Like, Brad Stevens said it. Jaylen's our dude. We appreciate everything about him. He's coming back. We want to give him that contract. Jaylen Brown has 300 million reasons why he should not leave Boston.
Sure.
The Pelican one, I know we got a question on that. Like, I keep thinking about this. If I'm the Pelicans, your season broke down because of injury. You were a pretty good team. You got some good pieces. Why am I giving up Brandon Ingram? He's the better of him and Zion. Zion can't stay healthy. Why am I abandoning Ingram in hopes that Zion finally gets it and I get a point guard with it? I don't know. I don't see it. Mikal Bridges. Unless an offer is out, unless it's and 3 and you're not asking for anything else, like, I don't know why Brooklyn would want to get rid of Mikal Bridges either. And I know they're in a different space as well. I keep coming to everybody and I'm like, so I get Pascal Siakam? I don't think he's worth the 3 pick.
I look at it as Brooklyn is every last bit of that is a smokescreen. Every last bit of that. Sean Marks is not going to restart his team with Mikal Bridges as his best player.
He might not. I don't know anything about Sean Marks anymore. He gave his entire franchise to 2 players for 4 years. I don't know if he knows what he's doing.
Fair point.
But let me finish real quick. If none of those dudes are available and there's not a surprise out of left field name that's like, holy hell, he wants to go play with Dame? Can you believe this? I don't know how you don't – you have to take the best player. And if Schmitz and Joe are in a room and they've had the Thompson twins, Scoot in, Brandon Miller, the top prospects after Victor, and their assessment is Scoot, number one. This league has taught us through history, you have to draft the best talent. You cannot be like, well, we already got a 2-guard. Can't do it. It's not worked out for Portland when they've played that game. And if Scoot's there, you got to draft Scoot. And that brings me back to the original point. I don't know how Dame doesn't say, you just drafted a point guard that's 19 years old, 20 years old. Like, I'm 33. And so, like, I don't know how this doesn't lead to the thing we don't want to talk about, because that just for Dame, just my two cents from way far, I don't know how that makes sense in his head. Maybe it does. Maybe he's like, cool, I'll mentor the kid. I don't know.
Like, I talked to Dame. I genuinely, in my heart, not carrying water or any of this bullshit that I see people saying, I genuinely believe that Damian Lillard wants to spend every second of his career in this city. Genuinely. Like, just
he's selling his house, though. Are you sure?
That was my favorite stupid thing from this week.
I had somebody text me, yo, he's selling his house. I'm like, he just built a house.
He built a castle. My man has a studio and a roller skating rink in his house. Yeah.
The old basketball gym, dude. Yeah. It's Damian Lillard all over it.
Yes. Like, folks, he not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole idea of, like, him forcing, like, being forced out. I don't think it would be him that decided to leave. It would be either the organization or the people who are around him, whether it's family, agencies, whatever, saying, you need to do what's best for you in your basketball career. And Dame has always said, no one can tell me what is best for me but me. And that's why I ultimately fall back on him wanting to stay here. But if they don't do enough to push them over, maybe that is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it shouldn't be guys like us or anybody in the world projecting how somebody should feel. If Dan wants to stay here and ride this out, like, dude, I'm all about it. I don't know how that works in my mind, but I'm in. Because Scoot to Shaden, Shaden back to Scoop, Scoot to Dame, Dame to Shaden. Like, there's all kinds of things rattling. I'm trying to use my life as the example, and if there was an equivalent to our jobs, are you not taking that personally as kind of a slap in the face in some ways? Like, hey, they just drafted the same position as you.
It's the Packers with Aaron Rodgers drafting Jordan Love. Like,
yeah, that's kind of how I'm seeing it too.
And the whole idea of, like, oh, Dame and Scoot can figure it out. Fuck, they can. Dame plays 35 minutes a night, ladies and gentlemen. I had hundreds of you scrapping and clawing for 10 minutes a night for Shaden.
Yeah.
You think Scoot's going to get minutes here? Ant? Dame? Shaden? And I've seen people like, well, if they trade Ant, I'm like, okay, so Scoot gets 12 minutes a night.
Right.
That's going to be super impactful towards winning. And if I see one more person say a college or NCAA player is better than a freaking all-star in the NBA in the comments, I'm going to throw you out of the chat. For the love of God.
I heard Hikins last pod, he had on he had draft guy on. Sorry, I'm blanking the name. If I think of it, I'll say it. And the guy came on and they were talking about Scoot. And Sean was talking about the idea that they used the pick. And he said, like, his guest said something to the effect of, well, you know, because Dame is so great off the ball. And I just thought, Scoot's not coming in here handling the ball, and Damian Lillard's just running back and forth like he's Steph Curry. That's not how Dame is.
They tried it, and Dame was like, I need more pick and roll.
Yes.
Like, that's who he is a pick and roll guard. And, like, having him come off the, like, from behind the defense, that's fine. Like, but that's not who he is.
No.
And Scoot Henderson is not a shooter right now. And for everybody, I saw somebody out there that had Scoot listed at 6'4". Scoot and Dame are the same height.
Okay.
Scoot and Dame are the same height. I have to avert my gaze ever so slightly above straight line above my eyes.
I've always thought Dame was about 6'2", going on 6'3".
He's 6'2", in shoes. Yeah. Like, I'm 5'10", I don't really have to look up to talk to him.
Yeah, I look him right in the eye.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, cool.
It's like, ah.
But so a 6'9", Reach is insane.
No, he is dumb long, and he is dumb strong. He looks like the KO Spikes out there. Like, jeez. He is a built kid. And the thing is, his frame, he could probably carry 15 more pounds.
Man, just a brick house.
Oh. Yeah. Like, he's still got little kid frame.
Like, you know, the thing that's going to be fun about him is Danny. I think he's going to have a little Draymond in him. I think he's going to be a barker when he gets out there, man.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a competitive, fiery dude. Talking about his interview, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. All the confidence in the world. And I think he said the line was something like, every team should want a guy like me. I'm a leader. I'm fiery. I bring it. I'm 110%. Like, you can tell he has juice.
Yeah.
Like, he's go, 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 go. Like, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. There are players in the NBA who go through the motions. Scoot is a dyed-in-the-wool hooper. He's got a lot of what Dame has in him. Like, if I had to pick somebody from this class who I thought was going to have a all-star caliber work ethic, Scoot would be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just by his actions, the way he talks, the way he walks, the way he carries himself. Like, it's either that or he is the best salesman that there is.
Go watch the Victor game from like October. Yeah. He took it to Victor. Yes. He took that game personal.
He's a dog. He's like, he's got that desire to kind of take it to another level. A lot of guys get to the league and that's good enough. And then there's guys who they want to be a little bit more and then they stop. And there's guys who want more than that. And then there's guys who want more than that. Like, that's how you work your way up that MVP ladder, from in the league to rotation player to viable bench player to starter to above average starter to, you know, borderline star, all-star, superstar, MVP. Like, that's the rungs you work up. It's talent, yes, but more than anything, especially in this league, it's how hard you're willing to work.
I still maintain, like you said at the top, Charlotte has done some dumb things, and Jordan has been in the way of a lot of those dumb things. Siakam and Morrison at three.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep coming back to, he's trying to sell that asset. That is a city that largely does not care one iota what that team is or is doing, because they have not earned any trust from that fan base or that city to care. I know they've got LaMelo, but like, I just don't know how they pass on Scoot. I don't know who's going to have a better workout for them, but like, I'm taking him 10 out of 10 times over Miller, just out of the sheer fact of LaMelo doesn't stay healthy. And I'm trying to sell somebody some edge to this city. Like, sure, Scoot gives you that. And maybe that makes the Blazers' job a little easier at three, because that's something else that I've been thinking about, Danny. Joe's a good dude. I do not envy this shit. This has got to be the worst position to be in, where you have this asset. I told Richmond this, and he kind of agreed. It, like, in the moment, you and I were at Bricks and we're Blazer fans, we're going nuts. We're like, holy crap, they got the three pick. I'm almost wondering if it was like the worst thing to happen to him, because now you got, hey, might be franchise type player that you kind of start. Mm-hmm. Your books are empty. You're building more on a timeline that makes sense. And then you also have franchise pillar that has had nothing help to him in a long time and deserves a legitimate shot because he's our statue guy. I can't fathom wanting to be in this position and have to make this kind of decision, man. It's huge.
It is, and we've talked about Scoot. And what if Charlotte takes Scoot? And that's the next part of this is, do the Blazers like Brandon Miller or do they like Amen Thompson more?
But he isn't Amen's like a point guard.
He's a 6'7" guard.
It's 6'7", yeah.
Can't shoot.
No.
Brandon Miller can shoot the living hell out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, eh.
Do those players lend themselves to you to where you start to tell yourself, oh, I'll trade this for that? Like, I'm not big on trading for Pascal, but if it's Miller.
You're tiering stuff. You 100% are. And so is everybody else in the league. Because, yeah, like, again, if Siakam was the only thing Toronto had on offer
for
Scoot and that was there, I'd be like, see you later. Bye.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody's like, oh, Portland's leveraged. You don't think Toronto is? Siakam's got a year left. OG's got a year left. You got a bunch of guys that don't want to play together. You have this whole experiment that blew up in their face, their coach fired because they got tired of everybody's bullshit. And everybody in that organization is too busy smelling each other's ass and congratulating themselves about a title that they generated off the back of one of the greatest players of all time that played there for 6 months.
Which they also wouldn't have won had the team they played actually been healthy in that series. We all know that.
It's like the self-aggrandized version of the 2019 Trailblazers somehow stumbling face first into a title, of which we would smell our own asses for. And we would sit there and talk about how our culture and this and that and the other, and completely ignore the fact that one of the greatest players ever in Kawhi mm-hmm. Leonard had one of the greatest runs ever in some of the best circumstances ever. Like, trying to shape that and build your foundation around that, by God, it's going to be fun to watch that come just completely crumbling down.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. I mean, probably the most talented team in a starting lineup in NBA history was like 50% healthy. And it's like, yeah, we did it. It's like, well, you did it, but.
And again, this whole idea that Portland is leveraged, I don't think Joe Cronin is operating from a position of leverage. I saw somebody saying that that Joe needs to draft Scoot to save his job. Joe Cronin just got a contract for all the same reasons we talk about Chauncey Billups and the Blazers not moving on from him. Because they got new contracts. They're safe. Ownership is not going to pay them to disappear.
No, that's not how this ownership group operates.
Most ownership groups don't operate like that.
No, I know.
They don't just go piss away money. That's why Monty Williams took that job in Detroit. He's like, oh, you want me to coach a team that I don't want to coach and build a culture that I don't want to build? Fine. Give me an MLE for 7 years.
Give me $100 million on the table. I'm in.
He told them no three separate times.
He had to take that, though. That offer.
They literally gave him an MLE. They gave a coach an MLE.
Like, what's Spoelstra going to get? Holy shit.
Wild. And somebody says, but what if there's no ownership, Danny? They're going to fire the coach before they fire the GM. That's how that works. Go look at Phoenix. James Jones still have a job? You know, that's just how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this whole idea of leverage, I don't think Portland's leveraged. I think Joe quite literally is making a decision based on what's best for the franchise, but also I genuinely... My discussions with Dame and Joe over the last 6 months, I genuinely believe that they're on the same page and that Joe genuinely gives a shit about wanting to put a contender around Damian Lillard. However, he is not going to give away assets for nothing. We saw it on draft night last year. Mm-hmm. Again, those Raptors wanted more than God for OG Anunoby. Joe said no. He got a value play for Jeremy Grant. Made the deal. Like, we have transactional records of what they have and haven't done. So which way they go with this, I think it's pretty easy to see. Like, come draft night, we are not going to see anything happen until they're on the clock. Because they're going to wait to extract every last ounce of blood from that asset.
If they don't use it, yeah.
But even then, they're going to wait till the very last second. Value it more than anything.
So where's your gut say right now? It's draft day. We haven't heard any chatter. Blazers are on the clock. They're at 3. Do you think ultimately they announce a Scoot? Or we have a trade?
If you asked me 2 weeks ago...
Okay to be wrong at this point, by the way.
If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said trade.
Sure.
If you asked me today, I'd say it's probably a coin toss that they use the pick. Just based on just the murmurings that are out there. But that's... I mean, this could also be Joe and the Blazers being a whole lot better at smokescreening than Neil ever was.
Possible.
You know? There's a lot of that to it. Like, that's why I try not to lean too hard into it a couple weeks out, because it changes in a heartbeat.
Yep.
You don't know until you don't know. Right?
Yeah. Right.
A player shaking free and then, oh, here you go. This is a question from Cody at Cody Zeff. Is there a world where we draft 3 Scoot and Dame is willing to stay with Scoot and Shea as then the guards of the future? Could you still flip Ant for more veteran pieces that keep Dame? Or if this pick is made, are we then assuming Dame is gone? This kind of goes to the second part of this. Like, I don't know if there's like a move that you make with Ant and other stuff that's moving the needle a ton as far as impact, in the sense of like, your biggest piece you just used on a rookie. Rookies aren't good. And if you're a team that has holes, which this team has holes, and you use it on a rookie guard who's not going to get on the floor because Damian Lillard plays 35 a night, how are you improving this team elsewhere to make them that much better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the timeline is for you, because I think using that pick at that position with Dame, it might be a little different, because, again, people have noted this, the assets out there even for a Dame are kind of interesting if you dive into it a little bit. I love to be wrong, but I feel like if they use it and they draft Scoot, I think that's a mutual agreement of, okay, now we're going to do right by you and we're going to get some stuff back, but we're sending you to the upper echelon place we think you have the best chance. I hope to be wrong on that, but I have a hard time believing that they draft Scoot and he's here to start the season.
I get some version of this from a lot of people. This is from Adamantium. If the Blazers do take Scoot, how would a Lillard-Scoot backcourt compare to other, like Lillard, CJ, Lillard, Ant, small guard lineups? You wouldn't see it all that much.
It would. I don't think it happened. Yeah.
Like, it's just... And Scoot's a guy who competes defensively, but they're both 6'2". Like, you might see it for a few minutes, but that's not the default setting. The default setting would be Ant or Damon Shaden in this scenario if you're moving on from Anthony. Like, oh, hell, the default at this point would probably end up being Damon Tease with Shea coming off the bench with Scoot.
Yeah.
Well, that would depend on who else they were able to get. So, yeah, there's some weird stuff in here. Let's get away from some of this endless Scoot pick three, Dame gone, doomer bullshit. I'm just so tired of it. This from Liam Rally 25. This is it's actually a question I've gotten quite a bit over the last 2 weeks, randomly. I must have missed the Reddit post about it or something. Liam asks, is Ibabaji an NBA player and a sneaky part of the plan, or is he a G League wait-and-see kind of guy? Is he something to hold on to during trade ideas or to use the piece? Any interest from other teams on him? I don't know about interest from other teams on him. But I do know that he is very much in the Blazers' plans as far as like development goes. If the Blazers had a G League team last year, he would have gone down there and just gotten minutes by fire.
Yeah.
Like, they look at him. He's okay. Number one, Bocce is huge. Huge. So long, so rangy. And he moves so well for a dude that size. Not Giannis fluidity, but he moves incredibly well. He has very natural shot blocking instincts. He's still very raw. He's still probably a year away from being an impactful, playable guy in the NBA.
Yeah.
But do not be surprised to see him get some scratch minutes, particularly number one, he's going to play a ton at Summer League this year, which will be fun to get him those, see exactly where he's at in his game time development. But this is what it's for. Like, the development process and having a G League team is these kind of guys. 7'1", huge hands, wild long arms, incredible athleticism. And Bocce's an incredible, incredibly great human. Just like the nicest, kindest, quietest guy. Speaks like, what, 5 languages? Just great dude. Love talking to him. But as far as like, is he a sneaky part of the plan? I think so. Now, sneaky part of the plan in the sense of like impact right away? No. But, like, does he have a development arc of, like, hey, he's a Serge Ibaka type of player, where a guy who came to the game a little bit later with wild athleticism, who has natural defensive instincts and incredible physical body. And then remember when Serge came in the league, he couldn't shoot to save his life.
Yeah.
Then he started, like, becoming not only an okay, but, like, a viable to good corner three-point shooter. Like, I don't know if Bocce turns into that, if he's more just a rim-running nightmare. But athletically, yeah. No, he's a big dude that can do a lot.
I don't have a lot to add. You see him on a far more scale than I do. But what I would say is the G League thing, I think, gets me excited for prospects like that. To be 100%. Able to see them and kind of get a feel of like, hey, when that guy gets called up. Because right now, you know, a lot of people sit in the dark on this stuff with Portland prospects. If they go and they bring them in and they develop, like, just seeing somebody up close play to a certain level in that league and then get the opportunity and maybe start running with it. It's not where'd he come from? You're like, I've been watching this dude for 3 weeks down here. He's been dominating the G League. It's not a surprise to people.
The interesting thing here about Bocce and the Blazers right here is that we should have probably more stuff, I would imagine, on the G League team here very soon. Like, who's coaching and team name and, like, because they start play here very soon.
Well, Salt Lake just named their coach, like, on Thursday or Friday, so I'd imagine Portland's got to be doing that.
Yep, and then Summer League is, a month away? I'd imagine one of the younger coaches will probably be involved there, and I haven't heard anything about anybody from the Blazers coaching staff going down to the G League. There have been talks about executives in the Blazers front office potentially running the G League franchise.
Mm.
So one of, like, Asha Jones or Sergey Oliva or Mike Schmitz or Andre Patterson, basically anyone in the executive office below Joe.
Mm.
Because those, I mean, it's not just reps for players. It's reps for executives too. It's reps for coaches. It's reps for salespeople. Like, it's a whole thing. So
yeah.
I could see that definitely being a path for those guys. This is a question I've seen about a dozen times. It's from Zach at Zach Backpacks. Gut instinct, who is the starting five going on opening night? No clue. Yeah, that's a plus 50,000 bet right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to nail that down.
Yeah, I don't know what other teams are going to do with their disgruntled centers or centers they've been trying to move for quite some time. I don't know what the market is for Nurkic right now. I think there's too many unknowns at that point. I understand the wanting to answer that question, but it's June 4th. We still have the draft, free agency period. There's a lot to still happen before I think we have a real idea of what's out there. I mean, you could put four names on a sheet and say which one would you pick is going to be the starter. It's a crapshoot at this point.
Somebody in the comments, and I've got a question about it, and the same thing, like the flex from Jersey, Ayton, Blazers third pick deal. I know the Blazers have kicked around Ayton in the past. His contract probably makes things a bit more prohibitive. I don't see Ayton as something that would end up in Portland. The notes and news coming out of Chicago around the combine and around after the lottery, everybody kind of coming together was that Ayton is going to end up in Phoenix, or not in Phoenix, in Dallas, if he goes anywhere.
The Kyrie thing.
There's that, and just, but this was also under the belief that Kevin Young was going to end up being the head coach.
Yeah, then there was
Vogel
a push for that.
Gets hired, and so Vogel's more of a defensive coach. So now does that maybe make Vogel want to keep Ayton and feature
Danny? Could you
him?
Imagine Frank Vogel walking into Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving teamed up in Phoenix after what happened in Brooklyn with Steve Nash? Like, could you imagine what Frank Vogel, like? Oh shit! Well, I'm basically not in charge here, yeah. So that's great.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that's why I don't think the Kyrie thing happens, but I do think that there is a way for Ayton that ends up in Phoenix, whether it's like some version of like Hardaway, Dwight Powell, and 10, something along those lines, because what Phoenix needs more than anything right now is depth.
Yeah, that'd give them good depth.
They have none, so yeah. do they then take 10 and flip 10 for something else that's, you know, to a younger team? Do they hit up the Pacers for like a Chris Duarte for another guard? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm literally just throwing shit against the wall right now.
Sure.
Just the idea of how they're looking at doing that. This is a question that I haven't seen asked, though. This is from at Dirty Blazers Fan. How likely is that we see another year of Dame and Ant in the backcourt? I see Rachel on the pairing with a two-way wing adds to the mix. Ant can guard the ball better than we can give credit for. That's like the alternative universe that nobody is willing or able to talk about right now because of the uncertainty surrounding which way they go. I've seen a lot of people say, well, if the Blazers go young, they should trade Anthony. And I'm just kind of like, why?
Oh, I mean, I've been saying that too. If they're going to go young and that frees up, I mean, he's 20 effing three with all this experience.
And he would be the only one on your team making any money.
Yeah, he's $20 million a year.
25. But, I mean,
yeah.
Like, why would you go that route? You know what I mean? But as far as Dame and Ant, it seems very strange that the pairing of last year feels and seems like the least likely option when in reality it's the most likely. You know what I mean? Like, the idea of...
You think the starting backcourt, the most likely scenario is Dame and Ant are back again?
Mm-hmm. because change is the least likely thing always when you're talking about making those kind of moves, whether it's the Blazers or any other team in the league. The trade is it takes the second party.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and because of value scales, it's less likely for it to come together. So it's at least interesting. This is from a whole lot of letters on Twitter. I'm going to go email. Assuming a draft day trade, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just have one contact in. It's super hard for me to focus right now.
Yeah, you're looking like – you look like this.
I literally ripped my contact out when we started the show. So assuming a draft day trade for one of the rumored wings, how likely is it the second move happens too, or they focus on making just one? For example, if Simons and three is enough for Bridges, could they then focus on Nurk and other picks for Turner maybe? Like – okay,
deals on draft day.
If the Blazers are concentrated on and they do make a massive move on draft day, I would be shocked. I think there was somebody in here asked like what the over under is on players moved on draft day was 1.5. I'd say over.
Yeah.
I would imagine the Blazers are going to want to get as much of their work done before getting into free agency, which is a week later.
I would agree with that. So hopefully if there is a secondary deal outside of what they're doing with the pick, yeah, I mean, I saw that question. I definitely would bet the over on the player prop. If you say it's over 1.5 players, now what would you say? Would you do the same answer if I said over 1.5 trades?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Because you have to also remember that the Blazers have pick number 23 and pick number 43.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to draft three rookies. Like even in a normal situation, they're not drafting three players.
Last time we had two trades on draft day. It's not LaMarcus and Roy, right?
No, the Blazers.
Because Zach was two picks to move up.
Yeah, but I don't think they.
Oh, didn't they move? Did they move back or did they keep that second for Biggie? Trying to remember the last time they had that kind of action go on draft day, and my brain keeps going back to LaMarcus and Brandon.
The Blazers moved back last year to get Jabari. Did they do another move on draft day last year?
Second round trades is where I will fail at remembering.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember second round transactions. There have been some, because it's not that far back. Like the Luke Babbitt years, there was multiple trades. Elliot Williams, I want to say there was multiple trades. The Collins season was Swanigan and Collins. I want to say there was another deal at the back of that where they moved a second round pick around. But that's like I think it's pretty safe to take the over 1.5.
Yeah.
Just because the likelihood is they make a pick. They're going to make a pick and likely trade two of them away, I would imagine. Or they could make two picks. They could make a pick with the 3 and then one with the 43.
Yeah,
I would imagine 23 gets traded, but I could be crazy.
Well, somebody I know we're going through the questions. I saw somebody had asked about unlocking the Chicago situation and like the timeline of that whole thing. It was, can they unlock Chicago without using number 23? I know we've talked about that before, but I know people are curious about when they're trying to unlock the Chicago situation.
Yeah, I don't think that the Blazers are worried about unlocking the picks. I think that Chicago is fairly desperate for picks, and I don't think it's going to take the 23 pick to get there. They have nothing to work with. Chicago, man, like everybody talks about Portland not having assets. Chicago doesn't have anything.
No.
Like, look, I like DeMar. He's older. LaVine, your mileage may vary. Vooch is, you know, going to be a free agent. Patrick Williams is probably the one thing on their roster that I like, and he's a younger guy. But as far as, like, capital and things, that like, the Bulls are in a weird spot, and I
Caruso?
Don't
no Caruso.
I like Caruso, but again, you're talking about like mileage may vary kind of situation, right?
Sure.
But yeah, I look at things right now, and I think that the Blazers are not really worried about unlocking that pick, and if they'll cross that bridge when they get there. But
yeah.
I don't see that as an impediment to get that out. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that makes sense.
There's like four different versions of that.
That, yeah. I thought that was an important thing to hit on.
Which is weird because I feel like we've done that a lot.
I know, but, you know, it just it feels like things are changing. Mm. And, you know, there's always like, oh, no, it's you have people that throw things out there and like, it's going to cost this. And it's like, no, it's going to cost that. And, you know, it's one of those like you free that up. It sets more of the future situations up, I think. So people are just kind of always on that note.
When you look at kind of reverting back to the pick. Scoots off the board. Is there a world where you're like, take Amen Thompson or take Brandon Miller more than you are trade the pick?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Go on.
Well, I mean, again, Joe is doing this. I think they're going to do it as an organization. They are going to value that pick to a certain extent. And if there's not the players that we have talked about available, I don't think they're going to, as you noted with Shaden's pick, they're not going to settle. And by the way, settle for something that you go, all right, first round this year, baby, let's do it. You're talking about a 6'7" athletic wing guard combo that, yeah, can't shoot that well. But like the idea of what he is in Miller, I mean, you and I talked to somebody in college basketball not that long ago off the record. And they were talking about Miller, mm-hmm. and they noted to you and I, they were like blown away that the game after all the whole incident had like to go score 40, like one. And I know, but like, I think it just kind of provides a look into how teams are viewing prospects like mm-hmm. Amen Thompson and Brandon Miller. So yeah, there is a world for me. Because 6'7 is 6'7. That ain't tiny, man. Like,
no.
Steph and Clay work because it's 6'3 and it's 6'7. That mm-hmm. matters a great deal in this league. And the other guy is, what, maybe the next Paul George? If you're going to give him that kind of comp, like, whatever. Like, those are pretty good talents to be having on your roster.
Yeah. And that's kind of the interesting thing about this. And for everybody out there screaming, trade Dame, trade Dame, trade Dame. Again, I will say this. You're going to suck.
I think we know we're going to suck, right? Doesn't everybody know they're going to suck?
Like, I just want to make sure that that's like understood.
I know.
Just rookies aren't good. There's been like three ever that impacted winning. Andrew Johnson, LeBron James, Tim Duncan. That's the list. Like, and those teams all had dudes around them. Well, except for LeBron. LeBron's a freak. LeBron was the most NBA-ready player maybe ever. On a side note, speaking of movements, shouts to old Ter Bear. Terry Stotts getting the assistant coaching gig in Milwaukee. Coming full circle to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I was happy.
Thrilled. Look, Ter Bear spent the last 2 years fishing out on Lake Oswego, popping brews, going to Timbers games, out walking all around Lake Oswego, living his best life.
Mm-hmm.
I wish him nothing but the best. He'll go to Milwaukee and probably get a second ring as an assistant coach, and everybody will talk about how he's a terrible coach.
Yeah, they have a real idea in Milwaukee where they're trying to win, you know, multiple championships with a once in a generational talent. They have real ideas of like, how can we get worse on our assistant coaching bench? Let's bring Terry Stotts in. That's fully how they operate. I was happy for him when I saw that news. A guy like Griffin's going to need guys like Terry that have been in these situations.
Smart,
very
move.
Smart.
Yeah,
he knows offense, by the way. So you know, let's see what he can unlock with Giannis and whatnot. But I was super happy for him. I get it was time to move on, but I thought he got a little bit of a bad rap from a small minority. I think most of us appreciated what he did and what he meant to this franchise, and so he didn't land the head coaching gig. Really hard right now. You almost have to be a name that's either won a title or you've been in that spot. And unfortunately,
the hot young name. He's so hot right now.
He's not a young chicken anymore.
He's not Hanzo, man.
You know what though? I would argue to him because I know he wanted to be a head coach. I would also argue like Terry, your resume says you should, but like, isn't this kind of the better gig? You're in the back. Nobody's talking about you.
All the gas, none of the breaks. Yeah.
Hell yeah! In this league, that might be the best thing.
So, I guess a quick little announcement. Some of you saw, or most of you saw, the Patreon account went up on Saturday. full disclosure, I've been thinking about it for literal months, and I had a whim on a discussion that I had with somebody that kind of spawned it. Do not freak out. That is just where the written content and all of the bonus stuff is going to live. So everything that I write, and I will be, basically I'm tweeting less and writing more. Hey, look at that. Brandon's applauding. But
well, I've always thought it, like, I'm not going to tell somebody how to run their Twitter account, but I've always seen your tweets and thought, this guy is still writing shit. Like, yeah, he just wants to write, but he won't basically admit it to himself.
But that's where that's going to be, as well as like bonus video breakdowns and everything else that we have kind of coming forward. So, thank you for the support. It's been overwhelming. Hopefully we will have more news to break about Jack Ramsey's in the coming months. Continue looking for more and more stuff in that regard. Beyond that, the reason we're going early is because the NBA Finals tonight. So we'll get you guys out of here to go enjoy the day and go enjoy the game. So thank you all so, so very much. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Help us grow the show. I hope we answered as many of your questions as we could. The Blazers are not going to have workouts, I don't believe, next week. It's going to be calm for a little bit, and then basically the next 2 weeks are going to be an S show, and I will be at the practice facility basically every day. So what I will try to do is I will post as many little reports as I can that come out of it and put them together on Patreon for all the written stuff. And then if we get, I would imagine Brandon Miller comes through, not this week, next week, because I'm not doing it, probably right after that. And I would also imagine he's also a solo workout. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how those workouts shake out, because it's they're always tight-lipped about things, but you can always, so what, how did this go? How did you do this? You can find a little, you can tell by some eyebrows and some fun little conversations how things went and how things looked. So thank you all so, so very much for all the support. Again, like, rate, review, subscribe, help us grow the show. You can find us on social media at Danny Marang, at Brandon Sprague, at Jack Ramsey's, jackramsey@gmail.com. Again, subscribe. We're just short of 5,000 on the YouTube channel. If you haven't already, go there, click, and make it go burr.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you. I would say the last 2 to 3 weeks, meeting listeners, having listeners randomly walk up and say how much they appreciate the pod. It's been awesome. We've tried to do the best we could given the circumstance of the franchise and the tanking and the not being in a winning position. I know this season was a little different just because Danny started going to games. And so I'm a morning show guy. So like schedules were a little wacky,
a little weird.
I know Danny's got the Patreon thing fired up. We got workouts coming, which is perfect for me because I'll be off this coming week. I'm going to Disneyland. I'm enduring the dad thing with the kids. But the draft is right around the corner. I'm sure we've got some stuff that we're talking about behind the scenes on what to do on draft day, because that could be monumental for this franchise. But just wanted to say thanks to the people out there for tuning in. And, you know, it's going to be a hell of a summer. There's a lot to come here on the old podcast.
All right, guys. Well, go enjoy the rest of your day and the game 2 of the NBA Finals. And not because I have a vested interest in anything like that, but go Miami.
Go Nuggets.
Did you really?
I got Nugs in 5, baby.
God, you scumbag.
I'm sorry.
All right, guys. Thanks again, and we will catch you guys here in a couple of days. Take care and talk soon. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.